more fun than water, and there's nothing any more scarier than water. That reminds me of that time we was in the Bahamas, and we had to swim. We did. Anybody here ever been on a banana boat?
Apparently, I killed a lot of kids on it.
Chris says we don't want to talk about that one. Well, we was on a professional banana boat in the day. I know y'all heard me tell the story, and I had held like six or seven people, and they were teenagers, and we got up on it. Stephanie and I were on the very back of this thing, and Matthew was up toward the front, and this guy just turned this boat. I mean, I don't know how fast we're going, probably going 20, 30 miles an hour. And that banana boat just threw the back of us, stepping up, just threw us off of it in the Atlantic Ocean. And we were probably half a mile from the shore. Now here's the deal. When we got on the banana boat, it was on the beach. Now we're in about 30 foot of water, and I can't climb back on it. And I don't know what was in there. My mind was going crazy to think about it. Well, Steph and I could not get back on this banana boat. The guy waited for about 5 minutes and decided, well, can't wait no more. He said, y'all just swim on in the shore. Now, thank goodness we did have life vest on. So I hollered for Matthew. I said, if we're going to swim in there, so are you. So jump off that boat. So he jumped off, and literally, we swam a half a mile to get back the shore. I didn't know what was in the water. I mean, that was, now Monica wasn't with us, but I had her two babies in the Atlantic Ocean swimming a half a mile offshore trying to get back there. And it sort of reminded me of this, because I was saying the same thing. Lord, let me breathe. Don't let me hit bottom. Don't let me sink. Because when you go under, you can't breathe. So, Lord, I think that's a good thing to say. Let's say it with us. Say, Lord, say it with me. Keep my head above water.
Above water.
Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. All right. Now, under the same heading, God's answers, we're changing the subject matter. All right, Larry, here we go. How to put Jesus first in your life. And let me say this. Putting Jesus first is where he needs to be. And I promise you, we got people all over this globe that may be in church today, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus is first in their life. First means priority. Three things that come into play that you're going to see, and I say this all the time, about is Jesus first place in your life? Studying God's Word, praying, and coming to church. Those three things prove to Jesus you have put Him first in your life. Give the Lord a hand of applause and a Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, which is another way of saying abundantly. Let the word of Christ. We hear the word of Christ in two ways. God's word. When you study God's word, this here, the Bible, that's how he speaks to you. Prayer. When you pray, I say this all the time about prayer, because it's the gospel truth. Praying is not you always doing the talking. Understand that? Allow Jesus to talk to you during your prayer time. Give the Lord a hand of applause in the mouth. Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, in other words, whatever you say with your mouth or however you act, covers both things. Every day, you will do something, you will act in some way, or you will react in some way, and you will use your mouth. True? Alright? And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. How do I put Jesus first in my life? It's number one, be thankful He's in my life.
Amen.
You understand that? Be thankful that He died for you. Be thankful He's coming back for you. Be thankful His Holy Spirit is here. Be thankful that His presence is with you no matter what you are going through. Everybody here is a book. You haven't maybe put it in words, but believe me, everybody here is a book. Everybody here has a life that you've lived that's got you to this point. And some of it's been good, some of it's been bad, and some of it's been downright ugly. But it's got you to where you're at today. Understand that. That's how we are. And here's the great thing about Jesus. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, or whether it's ugly, Jesus still wants to be a part of your life. That is the miracle. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11 and 12, Old Testament. Seek ye God and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. Judgments of His mouth is advice. How do you get God's advice? Through His Holy Spirit and through prayer. I need God's advice on a daily basis. If I don't, I will be one screwed up, messed up individual. How's that for putting it point blank? That's exactly what it's about. Because Satan will absolutely mess with you and tear you up. So how do I put God first place in my life? Seek God. Seek Him through Bible study, prayer time, church attendance. Can I drive that home anymore? Seek His face evermore. Means every day seek out God. Not just on Sunday. This is a good place to be on Sundays. It's the place to be on Sundays. But God needs to be a part of my life every day, every moment. I need to seek God. And then I need to remember something. And believe me, the older I get, my memory's not what it used to be. But it says, remember His marvelous works that He's done, His wonders, and the advice that's come out of His mouth. Now, when I remember something, usually, what I remember more than anything is something that's hurt me. Let me take you into psychology 101. What really your mind absorbs is when you've really been hurt. Maybe it was something physically. Maybe it was mentally. Maybe it was spiritually. Maybe it was financially. Maybe it was another human being. But your mind seems to dwell on that. Well, here's the advice. Get your mind off that nonsense and get your mind on the good things that Jesus has done for you. If I want to concentrate on the bad, I'll be so depressed, I won't be able to get out of bed. And that's why people are, because that's all you do is dwell on the bad. And I understand it. Life's tough. Life gets bad sometimes. But remember one thing, and remember this closely. Jesus loves you. And I don't care what gutter you're in. I don't care what hospital bed you're in. I don't care what nursing home you're in. I don't care if you're living on the streets. Jesus will be with you and watch over his people. And one day, you won't have to worry about nothing because Jesus will take care of you for the rest of your life if you put him first. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Larry, here we go. Jesus again. I love this. You are my friends if you do the things which I command you. We sing this wonderful gospel song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But let me tell you something, folks. If you don't listen to Jesus, he's not your friend. He can be. But one of these days, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That don't sound like a friend to me. That sounds like a judge. You can either have the friendship of Jesus, or you can have the judgeship of Jesus. One of the two you're going to deal with. And I promise you, you're going to want Jesus as your friend and not your judge. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. Why does he call us friends? It's because he doesn't keep anything from us. Everything that God has told him, he's revealed to us. Now, there are some things that we won't know till we get to heaven, but I promise you, he has revealed everything. He's not hid anything back from us. Jesus was sent here for a reason. God the Father sent him here to become a sacrifice so that the world could be saved. Though some have spit in his face, smacked him, cussed him, denied him, thank God there are still a few people on this planet who said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and I love my Lord. Give the Lord a hand of applause. There would be a lot of people that would make fun of you if they knew where you was at right now. There'd be a lot of people who wouldn't have nothing to do with you. They don't want to care. They don't care about your church. They don't care where you go to church or what you do. Nobody will ever care for you like Jesus. I promise you. Your employer don't care. I have seen stuff in the last few years that blows my mind. Now let me enlighten you about something. Your employer really could care less about you. You are nothing but a dollar bill to these people. That's all you are. If you don't make them money, you're gone. They don't care. They don't care if you're 6 months away from retiring. They don't care. The world don't care no more. They don't care. If you don't know this, and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm just telling you. That's just all I hear all the time. The world doesn't care about you in any way, shape, or form. The only thing that cares about you is Jesus Christ. And I promise you, no matter what somebody does to you, no matter what your employer does to you, no matter what happens to you, you understand one thing. The greatest friend you've got in this world is Jesus Christ. If you know him as Lord and Savior, don't ever, ever take that for granted and praise his name in the house. Give him a hand of applause. All right, Larry, last verse. You did not choose me, but I told you. Now that blows my mind completely. As I look around at some of you, what in the world was he thinking? I mean, seriously, look at me. What was he thinking? Jeez. But when you understand something, that Jesus picked me out because he cared for me. And the fact that he picked you out, Arnold, blow your mind. Now, for some of you, it took a lot of years to figure that out, and that's okay. Some of you knew it from a childhood. Some of you didn't know it till you was old. But it doesn't matter as long as you know it when you take that last breath. That's what matters. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Why did he choose you? Because he saw something in you that you don't even see in yourself. He saw that you, no matter what you're going to go through in life, because I promise you, from the time you were born, you didn't have a clue what kind of life you were going to have. Matter of fact, if you could go back to a childhood and remember what the future held, it would probably scare you to death. You didn't know. And when you look at how you are now, you've got to feel lucky that you're still alive.
Amen.
Really, you should. I mean, I've died twice. The Lord keeps bringing me back. All of you have had close calls in life. But you're here today. And you don't have to be a preacher to proclaim that. But the fact that you're here says that you're a witness. When you park that automobile out there in that parking lot, you come in this church, and you don't care what nobody says. This is your church. This is where you're coming. This is what you're doing. You sit down. You put that money in the offering plate. You write that check. You give your tithe because you want to see this place can keep open so that others can hear the word of God through this camera and through everything else. When you do that, you realize why God chose you. Because you're still here and still standing. Give the Lord a hand. And it's all about Him. So how do I put Him first place in my life? Study God's Word. There's not a better book on this planet. Learn to develop your prayer life. It will change your life. And come to God's house. Support God's house. Let it be known to the Lord that this is your home and this is your place. Because He's prepared a home for us. And here's really what I want you to think about. As well as you see that your home here is taken care of, in this building, in this church, that's how well you're going to see that home in the ever after. I believe that. Because the more that I do for the livelihood of this church, from the check that I write, to the people that I teach, to the people that I do, to those who work in here, clean the toilets, clean the seats, to those who attend here, this is what this is all about. It's so that people can see we believe in something. That no matter what the world says, we believe in something. No matter what your employer says, we believe in something. And come hell or high water, I am going to believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Father, may we understand, truly understand, what it is to put you first in our life. First of all, Father, we have to be saved. If there be anyone here today that is lost, I don't care what your age, if you've not made that decision publicly, come and just take me by the hand. That's all you've got to do. Just say, Brother Roger, I want to make public my salvation. And just saying, I believe in Jesus, and I want to make that public. That's all you've got to do. Or if you've not accepted Jesus, let me lead you through that process. But I promise you, understand this. Jesus says, don't deny me before men, because I will deny you before the Father. If you're watching me by internet today, find you a good church home that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. don't care if it's a young preacher, old preacher, small church, big church. You get in where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. Support that church. Attend that church. And let God know that you care about them. Understand, we're living in the last days. Most of us are aware of that, don't that? Father, be with our church and our people. Be with us this very moment. To those who need a quiet time at this altar, to those who just simply need to come and let me have a word of prayer with them. May your will be done. In Jesus' name.